Josh. So, you know, I remember when I was young at VHM, Mindy and Lacey, and I'd get picked last on the sports teams when I first got there because I was so short. They thought, oh, he can't do anything. He's too short. I was super offended, right? I don't know if any of you can relate to that. Most people are taller than me, so, you know, it's kind of a hard one. Oh, yeah, you can, Greg. That's right. You're too tall, right? No, but I think you can relate to this, though. When I was 15 and a half, I went down and I took driver's ed, and I was so excited that I got to drive because I was always sitting in the third row in the minivan in the back, so I never saw what was going on the road. But I learned to drive, and I passed my test, and I got my license, and I remember going out, and I was driving, and I remember this guy cut me off. Well, what should I have done? I didn't do. I did what my grandpa did. And, hey, man, what are you doing? Come on, I'm trying to drive here. Like, he can hear me, right? Oh, I remember this one time, and it got bad. It was so bad. I'd get so offended when people would drive. You know, they're changing the radio. They're yelling at their kids. And I remember this one time. I was in Santa Cruz, and I was driving, and this guy goes rushing by on the shoulder. So I, like, swerve over to, like, block him. And we're honking each other, and I'm like, hey, man, what are you doing? How can you disrespect all of us by the way you drive? And I was super offended. Super offended. How many of you can relate to that? Lacey, have I gotten better? Much better. Calm and collected. I say, hey, I don't know what that person's going through today. Lord, be with them, right? Amen. You know, it could be any number of things for us. It could be, hey, I don't like the way he's acting. Or, can you believe the way she dresses? Mercy. And we're so easily offended, right? Right? Come on, I'm trying to pull it out of you here. Don't sit there and be offended. So in the church world, it's amazing how Christians can get offended. Okay? Have you seen, Oscar, at that church, what version of the Bible they use? Oh my goodness. The things that version says is so inaccurate. Oh my goodness. Right? Or how about this one? Hey, Brad, can you believe what church those people go to? That, you know, that Seventh-day Adventist church. Can you believe that? Have you heard people say that before? No. You know, if you're a member of this church, and that is that's you. Some of your friends could be saying the same thing about you here. Think about that. Can you believe they go to that church in Rio Grande? You know, why is it that we're so easily offended? Why are we so easily offended? I think one of the reasons is because we're living out of our egos. Our very insecure egos that want to be right and want to win. They want to be what? Right. Right? But for us to be right, somebody else has to be wrong. Ouch. And so our egos not only are easily offended, but some of them actually look to be offended. Mercy. We're going to find things wrong everywhere we go. Have you ever met one of those people? Oh, that doesn't work, and that's not right, and oh, man. Yeah. Right? In fact, some people form close friendships and relationships with people that have the same viewpoint so that they get together and they talk about what they're offended together about. Right? We call them pity parties, right? Well, have you seen those people in that group? And yeah, and they all can relate because they all agree most of the time. And so, what does Scripture say about this very common and very sad condition that we see so often in society? If you look at your handout there, the first verse is Proverbs 19:11. And it's a verse that go to the next slide, Don. That is a good verse to memorize. It says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to what? To overlook an offense. You know, we live in a world that's quick to judge, quick to call foul, quick to be offended, but very slow to overlook an offense. Now, to overlook something doesn't mean to pretend like it never happened. I want to be clear. To overlook is a form of forgiveness. In fact, the two Hebrew words that are translated into the one English word overlook, these two words very literally mean to pass over an offense. So it's to our glory to pass over an offense, to forgive, and to go on. You know, we could stay down and low and be offended, or we can rise above and look over somebody's statement or way they're treating us. And I think it's good to remember that. I remember when I was a bit younger, I was in Yosemite, and I was having some relational problems with some people that I was there with. And I remember I left Camp 4 very offended. I was very upset, and I was going to climb one of the routes there. And I remember climbing up, and I was like 4 or 5 pitches up, and I remember looking down at the valley thinking, oh, they're getting so small. They're so far. They're so little. And then I remember thinking to myself, you know, why am I letting this hold me down? Why am I letting this silly thing get to me? I've got more important things to do than be weighed down by this offense, this conflict, if you will. And I think we have to remember it's to his glory to pass over, to look over an offense, right? Now, why do we rarely do that in society today? Why? Pride? It's cool to be offended? What? Yeah, at least PC, right? At least PC. Well, I think part of it has to do with it's because we're living out of our egos instead of living out of the grace of God that extends to us through Christ. Amen? Let me show you another verse that I think is pivotal in this. And it says this, for by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. So, was Paul extended grace by God? Yeah. Right? What did Paul do before that? Killed Christians, right? Was Paul extended grace by those around him? Yes, right? He was. And I think I want to pause just a moment and kind of define grace, because God's grace, it's important to understand the words behind God's grace and the meaning of it. And the Old Testament, New Testament have a slight differences in that. The Old Testament word describing God's grace speaks of deliverance from enemies or adversity. It also denotes enablement, daily guidance, forgiveness, and preservation. The New Testament word for grace, charis, it focuses on the provision of salvation. So it's something that is it's not, we don't deserve it, but we get it. It's a free gift that you can't buy. You can't earn. It's just available. And how beautiful is that? Is that good news? Is that why we're here today? Because of God's grace and his mercy that's available? You know, grace may be defined as this: the unmerited or undeserving favor of God to those who are under condemnation. Love it. Well, we know Paul was extended grace, and God extended to him a tremendous amount of it. And I want to be extended grace. Do you want to be extended grace? For by the grace of God has given me, I will not think more highly of myself than I ought. And when I don't, I will not be so easily offended. So let me just share 3 points of the application here. It's on your study guides if you have them in front of you there. And the first one is this. The first one is, because of Christ's grace to me, I'll give others the benefit of the doubt. The benefit of the doubt. You know, Ephesians 4:2 says, always be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Always be humble. See, it's not about you. Always be gentle, always be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's love. Because God's grace for me through Christ, I will give others the benefit of the doubt. Isn't it interesting how we oftentimes don't give others the benefit of the doubt? What do? We judge others by their actions, or we judge others by our intentions. Well, look what they did. Well, I intended to. You should give me the benefit of the doubt, but I don't want to give you the benefit of the doubt. Just like the time I was angry at people for breaking the law while they drove on the shoulder and passed the rest of us faithful, law-abiding, God-fearing citizens. They drive right up there, and I, who do you think you are? And I went off. And, you know, I remember a few years after that incident, on the same freeway, I was on my motorcycle. And I remember there was a lot of traffic, and I was with a group of about 60 other motorcycles. And I'd never ridden with this group before. This was my first time, and they were going quite fast on the freeway. I won't say how fast. And I remember that we passed some officers as they were riding, and nobody was really being obedient to the laws, including me. And I remember I got very scared because everybody just kind of went every different way, and the police were coming. The kids are all outside, okay. And I remember on Highway 1, I actually pulled onto the shoulder and dropped down a gear, and the bike went up to almost 120, and I'm going on the shoulder to get up to the next exit and got off the freeway and I left. And as I looked back on that incident this past week, I thought, man, I'm worse than the guy who was on the shoulder when I got mad. I was that guy breaking the law on my motorcycle. Yet I got so offended when he did it, yet I did the same thing. You know, I think we have to remember that because of the grace given to us, we have to give others the benefit of the doubt. When they're short with you, maybe they've had a really hard day. Maybe their teenager is making incredibly destructive decisions and they're really frustrated. Maybe they just heard something from the doctor that has been quite upsetting or traumatizing. We don't know. And so we should give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they're running behind in traffic and cutting you off is not about you. It's just they're running behind because they made a bad decision. So as a follower of Christ, here's what I want. Are you ready? I want to have thick skin and a soft heart. But so often, we have thin skin and a hard heart. I don't want to be easily offended. I, I want to have a soft heart and give people the benefit of the doubt. I remember in college, I took a course on counseling. One of the things I remember most from that course is that hurt people, did you get that? Hurt people. When people are hurting, they're defensive. They're wounded. And if you think of them as wounded, I really believe this, it helps you to have compassion on them rather than being angry or offended by them. For example, a wounded animal who's cornered, what does that animal do? What does he do? Yeah, he gets angry. He's defensive, right? The animal just defends itself because it's wounded, and that's what wounded people do. And when I see someone who's wounded, it helps me to remember to have compassion for them. And I wonder what they're going through and why they would act that way. And I wonder how I can pray for them, how I can help them. And rather than be offended by them, I begin to have compassion for them. Because of the grace given to me through Christ, I will offer others the benefit of the doubt. The second thing, if you're taking notes on your study guides there, says, because of Christ's grace to me, I will not label others. I will not label others. Can you imagine if God labeled us? That would be kind of scary, wouldn't it? If God took isolated events from different seasons in our lives and he labeled us, that would be downright just scary. Before I surrendered to Christ in my 20s, I used to steal a little. I used to lie too. And yes, even cheat. And so what if God says, well, here's Pastor Josh. He's the liar. He's the cheat. He's the thief. What do you think of that? What would you think? Not good, right? Not good. Yet he doesn't do that. Amen? Amen? He restores and he forgives. And he doesn't label us in that way. And yet so often we take one or two moments from a person's life and we label them based on that place and time. Well, he's nothing but a jerk. Well, she's a, you know what? Well, he's a control freak, like we talked about last week, right? Well, she's a this and he's a that, and we label people permanently over a temporary moment in time. Everybody say, ouch. And that's what Jesus said. This is what Jesus says to that in Luke 6, 36 and 37 on your study guides. He says, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Because of the grace of Christ, because of the grace of grace Christ has given me, I will not label others. That verse is challenging, isn't it? Because what one of the things that verse is saying is forgive, and then what happens when you forgive? You're forgiven, right? We're going to talk about that in a moment. Speaking of labeling, I remember when I was in college, I had a roommate that I got stuck with. You ever have that situation? And I show up to my room, and I have my California stuff, all my outdoor stuff and my radio, and I kind of throw it in there, and I'm not super tidy. I wasn't super tidy. And this guy was like super particular. He was OCD. Everything had a place, and he was downright quirky, like socially awkward, right? And I remember I labeled him. I'm like, I got a kook as a roommate. Like, he is just like, I go in the room, and he gets mad at me because I leave toothpaste in the sink all the time, and he's like throwing my clothes on my bed, and we're just not getting along. He's a loser. I don't want to be his roommate anymore. And I'd only go in the room just to like get my books and to sleep, and that was even hard. Well, I remember it was like, I don't know, more than halfway through the year, and I come in the room one day, and I sit down, and he had these two little chairs in there like he was a counselor or something, I don't know, I thought. So I sat down, and I was having a hard time, and I started talking to him. It's like the first time we really had a real conversation. You know what I found out after about 4 hours? This was the coolest guy. He was amazing. He listened. He was a genuine friend. And I found out some things that I labeled him these certain ways and thought of him these certain ways, but I found out that he'd had a very, very rough upbringing. And so, yeah, he was a bit socially awkward because he wasn't confident, because he'd been mistreated by family and friends. I also found out that everything he had in his room, everything, he had worked for himself. Nothing was given to him by his parents or by friends. He had worked hard for every single thing. And he was working to pay a school bill off at the same time. So I quickly learned that this young guy, who became one of my best friends for life, still is to this day, I incorrectly labeled him. I wrote him off because of the way he acted and what he did, and how wrong of me to do that. The reality is we do it all the time to people. Maybe they're dressed a certain way, or they drive a certain car, or they're listening to something that we don't listen to, and we begin to label. Maybe, in fact, some of you, labeling is even more dangerous than that. Everybody say, uh-oh. Maybe you've labeled your spouse. She's a, or he's a, right? And you're discounting what God could do in your spouse's life. You know, maybe you've labeled a child. Or you've labeled someone else and God says, hey, hang on. Wait a second. I'm not labeling you. I've shown you grace. Why are you labeling them? Easily offended, looking for reasons to be offended. You know, because of the grace that Christ has extended me, I'm going to give others the benefit of the doubt. Because of the grace that Christ has extended me, I am not going to label others. And the third one on your study guides, turn them over there. The third one is a big one. Because of Christ's grace to me, I'll forgive as I've been forgiven. Amen. I'll forgive as I've been forgiven. You know, Colossians 3:13 has some powerful words. It says, make allowance. Wow, make allowance for each other's faults. In other words, be ready. It's going to happen. And forgive anyone who offends you. Remember that the Lord forgave you, so you must, sometimes, right? Sometimes? No, you have to forgive. God says, hey, this has to happen. You have to forgive. And that's a pretty serious statement from Scripture. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, what did God do? He forgave you and me, and he expects us to do the same thing. Some of you might be sitting there saying, oh, okay, I get it. Someone cuts me off in traffic, I'll forgive them. I got that. You know, I can overlook that. I'll catch some attitude. I can get above that. But when they do something really big, you know, we're talking like massive offense. They abuse me, abuse someone I love, cheat on me. lie to me, get involved in something that's really not appropriate, I don't have to forgive them then, right? Right? Am I justified in saying that? I mean, we can overlook the small things, but the big things we should at least put the brakes on and kind of reflect on it for a while and think about it. Hold some stuff. Jesus said this, and it's incredibly sobering. On your study guides, he said, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Now, I wish we could just stop right there, because we read that and go, "Oh, that's so great." But the next part can really get to people, and it really can actually haunt people, some people. It says, "But if you do not forgive men their sins," go ahead and read the rest. Ouch. If we can't forgive people, God's forgiveness is not available to you and me. There's a thought. There's a statement that's, it's hard, because when we look in the world and when we ourselves experience abuse, neglect, people in our lives that have hurt us, maybe emotionally, maybe physically, how is it that we can forgive? It's a difficult thing to comprehend, but the Bible here says, but if you don't forgive men, your Father won't forgive you. You know, there's a story of a gentleman from World War II. His name was Simon, and he was a Jew. And Simon was asked to go with his group to one of these hospitals and do some cleaning. And in this hospital, which was full of German soldiers, a nurse came up to Simon and said, "Are you a Jew?" And he said, "Well, yeah, I'm a Jew." She said, "Come with me." So Simon was led down the corridor and into a room where there was a man, his name was Carl, and he was a Nazi soldier. And you couldn't even see his face. It was covered in bandages, and the only thing that was showing were his lips and his nose, because he'd been in an accident. And he was on the verge of death. And it was there that he stood silenced as Carl began to explain why he asked him to come to the room. You see, Carl had had an upbringing that was great, a mom and dad that loved him, and at one point in time he joined the army and then got involved in Hitler's troops. And then things really turned, because the story that he told this man, which I'm not going to retell in here, was a story that involved women, men, and children in several homes that they took out, they killed. And he told this man the story in detail, weeping on the bed. And he said, "You know, I'm waiting to die, but I can't die until I get forgiveness." He said, "I'm sorry." And that Jewish man turned and walked out of the room and he left. You know, the next day, the nurse was walking around, that same nurse, and she found Simon, the Jewish man, and she said, "Carl died last night." And for the rest of his life, Simon thought, should I have forgiven this guy for what he did to my people? It haunted him. It haunted him. How do you forgive that? How do you forgive abuse? Neglect? Betrayal? How do you forgive somebody in an authority position when they abuse their authority and they hurt innocent people? How do you forgive something that seems so totally unforgivable? Show you what the Bible says. next slide says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. See, it's only because of what Jesus has done that we're able to extend forgiveness to those in our lives. That's it. That's how we forgive. We're to forgive just as we have been forgiven. You see, it's not a process. It's more than that. And I want to be clear about one thing before I wrap it up here. We have to differentiate the difference between forgiveness and trust. Because forgiveness needs to be immediate. We have to forgive. But that trust bank, if you will, has to be built back up. When our trust is broken in a marriage relationship, we can forgive. With God's help, amen, we can forgive and we can go in and we can mend it. But the trust needs to be built back up. You're not going to all of a sudden trust that person right away. It has to be built up over time. But forgiveness is something that we need to do and God asks us to do rather quickly. Forgiveness is something we need to do in the moment, sometimes even. Let me give you an example of that. A pastor and his wife had some friends in a church that they somehow, they're not sure, offended or hurt. And these friends started telling lies about them in the church. That kind of stuff happened. Doesn't mean it's easy, but it happens. But the lies they told were significant lies. They were the kind of lies that if people found out, the right people found out, it could get this guy fired. That's the kind of lies it was. In other words, if these things were true, he would be disqualified from being a pastor. So that's pretty significant, wouldn't you say? In the past, this couple would have been furious. They would have been so mad, ready to go to war and say, hey, what are you doing? Why are you saying these things? They would have been defending themselves. They would have been confronting them. They would have been trying to get all their ducks in a row and make sure everything was right. So that when the time came, they would be seen as clean, as true. But this one time, for some reason, they thought, I wonder what in the world is going on in their lives for them to act like this. It was compassion. They started praying for this other couple. And they didn't even defend themselves. They didn't even begin to defend themselves. They just prayed. And they said, you know, we know the truth and God is our defender. And they didn't feel like they had to defend themselves, and they continued to pray. And here's what happened. Instead of forgiveness being a process over time, they were actually able to forgive them in real time. As the offense was occurring, they were forgiving them. Imagine that. It was for God's glory that they were able to catch some spiritual altitude and in real time pass over the offense. It's for God's glory that you pass over the offense too. And that we forgive as we have been forgiven. And what's so great about this is when you think about how God forgives, if you take a look back at the Old Testament times when people would be forgiven, there was this altar, right? They would take an innocent animal, and they would sacrifice that animal on the altar. And with the shedding of blood, they would be forgiven. And there's this story in the Old Testament about the Passover where they'd actually take the blood of the lamb and they'd paint it with a sponge and put it on the doorpost. And then on the sides of the doorpost, what would happen is the blood on the top would then drip down on the sides. And there you see hidden in the Old Testament a foreshadowing of the cross of Jesus where the lamb's blood would be shed. And the death angel would then do what? Pass over the house that was covered by the blood of the Lamb. So because of the Lamb of God, Jesus, and his shed blood that covers our sins, God is able to pass over our offenses. Amen? He's able to overlook them. Not because of what we've done, but because of what Christ did. And the reality is we need to understand how we've been forgiven and that we acknowledge hurt people. They do. Hurt people. Don't miss that. But forgiven people forgive people. Amen? Forgiven people forgive people. Because it's not about us. It's about Him. I don't have a right to be offended. And today, everybody's offended. Everybody seems to get offended so quickly. I'm not justified in my anger. It's not about me winning. Because of what Christ did for me, I'm honored to give people the benefit of the doubt. Amen? And I'm honored not to label others as I don't want to be labeled. And because of what Christ did for me, I will forgive others as I have been forgiven. It doesn't mean it's easy, but it's right. And the more we experience the grace of Christ, the more we can forgive in real time. So it's to His glory to pass over an offense. I want to ask two questions. Two questions to you. The first one is this. If you're a lot like me, and you found yourself or find yourself being easily offended or quick to be offended, I know sometimes we don't want to be that way, but we are. And today in the presence of God, you want to say, hey, I want to sacrifice that part of my ego. I want to say, God, I want to lay down my right to be offended at your throne. Maybe you're quick to be offended or easily offended and you don't want to be that way. I just want to ask that you'd stand up right now and say, God, I want to stand up and I want to lay my right to be offended at the altar. Take it, God. Take it from me. Just would you stand? We're so easily offended today. And it's a big thing. The other question I have before we pray is this. And I want you to be really honest with yourselves. I'm not gonna make a public appeal to come forward or to raise your hands. It's between you and God. But I wonder how many of us in this room, someone has wronged you, hurt you, betrayed you, let you down, and you're holding a grudge. Ouch. Maybe you've been offended and you haven't let it go. Some of you right now, if you're really honest, you're going to say, I don't want to let it go. But I know I should. I know I should, and I don't want to. God, help me. Amen? Others of you, maybe you've wanted to and you've tried, but you haven't got to the place where you can totally let it go. One day, when you finally let it go, you're going to realize that a prisoner has been set free. And that prisoner was you. See, because when we don't forgive, we're a prisoner. We hold it in and it's hurtful, it's emotionally damaging, and it's hard. But when we let it go, we're free. So what I'd like you to do right now, if that's on your heart and mind and you've got somebody you need to forgive, there's two things. One is just to silently, we're going to spend a moment in silent prayer, say to God, Lord, I want to let this go with this person. I need to forgive them and I want to forgive them. And seek God to help you with that. And then second, reconcile with that person. Call them today. Send them a note. Say, hey, I forgive you. It's as simple as that. So I just want to spend a moment praying and then I'm going to close with prayer. So let's bow our heads.
Father, I pray today that the Holy Spirit would do something that we're incapable of doing ourselves. That you would bring healing to our lives where there are offenses. And forgiveness, God, where we've been holding grudges. God, I pray that you'd lift up everyone today, Father, especially those that have stood up and said, Lord, take this from me. I want to lay this on the altar this morning. And God, you know that and you understand that because of our egos, it's so easy to jump to an offense, to assume an offense, to look for one. God, help us to live in your grace so that we can pass over these things and forgive in real time. God, I pray that you would give us thick skin and a soft heart this morning for people to see them as you see them, to love them, God, as you love them. And God, for those today that are carrying a deep offense, a significant wound, God, I pray that you would supernaturally work in their lives and bring them healing and give them the ability to forgive. God, give us the ability to forgive as we have been forgiven. Lord, we acknowledge that trust may and will still take time to build back up. And we may not want to run back to that place where we're vulnerable, but God, help us to do that in this moment, in your presence. Do what is right and release others as you've released us. Father, as we leave this place, may we reflect on this. May the Holy Spirit remind us of this week. And may we seek to forgive. Father, I thank you so much that this altar is available because of Jesus. And we're able to come and we're able to lay things on it, Father. And you don't stop there. You in return give us Christ and his victories and his very own mind. And Father, that is a beautiful and amazing, wonderful thing. So Father, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.